Today we have a double-header parsha, as mentioned multiple times. And we're going to go from Parshas Acharimos into Parshas Kedoshim today, which is the middle of the fourth reading. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemer. God speaks to Moshe Rabbeinu, saying, Daber al kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire congregation of the children of Israel. V'amarta aleihem. And you will say to them, Kedoshim tihiyu, you should be holy. Ki kadosh, ani Hashem alikechem, because I, the Lord God, am holy. And since I, the Lord God, am holy, you should be holy. What's going on in this pasuk? Does not seem to be so straightforward for a number of reasons. So let's take it from the top. The first thing is, we note it is written, Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. Speak to the entire congregation of Israel. We have multiple times in the last couple of parshiot where it says, Daber el Aharon, v'el bonov, or Daber el b'nei Yisrael is the typical way. And here we have Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael. So the obvious question is, why do we have this unusual verbiage in the scripture, Daber, speak, el kol adas, to the entire congregation? So Rashi says, Melamed, this teaches us, that this parsha was said at a time of gathering. Now presumably, this does not refer to the hakel that we are familiar with. The hakel used to take place in the year following Shemitah, where the Melech Yisrael, the leader of the Jewish people, would gather all of the nation together, and there he would read to them from the Sefer Torah for multiple reasons. Firstly, there was no Sefer Torah yet. The Sefer Torah is in the middle of being written, number one. Number two, the specific part of the Sefer Torah that's read is in Chumash Devarim, and we're in the middle of Chumash Vayikra. We're in the middle of Leviticus, and the portions that are read are from Deuteronomy. And a number of other reasons. The mitzvah wasn't given, actually, till the very end. It's one of the last mitzvahs, second to the last mitzvah that's given to us. So I'm pretty sure it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu used to actually keep this mitzvah of hakel with the Jewish people. So what does it mean, b'hakel? B'hakel means not as a noun, but we refer to hakel as a noun, but rather in the verb, b'hakel, when he was gathering everybody together. In other words, the Moshe Rabbeinu was instructed by God, gather everybody together when you give this mitzvah, or this collection of mitzvahs, this portion, this sedra, this order of the Torah. And why should that be? Says Rashi, m'pnei, because Shareiv gufei ha-Torah tluyim ba. Most of the bodies of the Torah hinge onto what's discussed in Parshas Kedoshim, including, incidentally, the famous verse, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamoicha, that you must love your fellow as yourself, which Rabbi Akiva said is a klal gadol, a major rule by Torah. So at any rate, this is a very, very important Parsha, and because it's an important Parsha, that's why we say Reiv mitzvahs ha-Torah, or Reiv gufei ha-Torah tluyim bo. In the Torah's Koyanim, our sages worded a little bit differently. It says Reiv mitzvahs tluyim bo, most of the mitzvahs, and according to the Sefer HaChinuch, there are 51 mitzvahs that are found in Parshas Kedoshim. That's a lot of mitzvahs for one Parsha. There's only one Parsha that has more mitzvahs, and that's found later on in Deuteronomy, which essentially is litany of mitzvahs, you know, lists after lists after lists that we read. And this is in Leviticus, we don't get usually lists of so many mitzvahs. So this is a major event for the Jewish people. Moshe Rabbeinu has to gather everybody together, and he's got to speak to all of them, because they have to be present when these mitzvahs are given. That's the way Rashi explains it. So the Ravid says that this Torah portion was not transmitted in the typical and normative fashion. Usually, Moshe Rabbeinu would receive his transmission from God, then he would call Aaron, and he would share with Aaron what he heard from God. After he heard from Aaron, after he reviewed with Aaron, he would speak to the children of Aaron. Then he would convey this to the 70 elders, and finally, the fourth time, fourth repetition, he would speak to all of the Jewish people. The Ravid maintains that in this parsha, it was not first said to Aaron, his sons, and the Zakenim, and only being conveyed to the Jewish people in the fourth time. But rather, this, as the Gemara in Eruvin tells us on page 54, this was done differently. Moshe Rabbeinu called all the Jewish people together and said it to them straight. They all needed to hear this. The Panim Yafis suggests that other portions of the Torah were usually given to selected coteries of the Jewish people. Those who would be able to understand and relate to it, those who would be able to perhaps best study, teach, and promulgate these ideas of Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was selective. However, he says, when it came to this parsha, there was no selection, there was no specific portion of society, no clerisy of Am Yisrael that was tapped to be present. Everybody was there. Everybody was a part of this. The Bartanura goes so far as to suggest that unlike the other portions of the Torah, like Ravid says, that first it was taught to Aaron, then to Aaron's children, then to the Zekanim, then to all the Jewish people, he says that order still happened. Moshe Rabbeinu still did repeat the Torah four times. Only here, the order was reversed. First, he spoke to the entire nation. Then he reviewed it with the 70 elders. Then the 70 elders left, and he reviewed it a third time with Aaron and his children. And then his children left, and Moshe Rabbeinu reviewed it a fourth time with Aaron. So in the end, every portion of the Torah was, in fact, taught four times. What are we going to be speaking about? We're going to be speaking about holiness, he said. Now that we know we're speaking to all the Jewish people, we're going to speak about holiness. Kedoshim ti, you should be holy. Why should you be holy? Because I am holy. What does this mean? So Rashi kind of explains that this verse forms a bridge between last week's Torah portion, the last Torah portion, which sometimes is last week, but today it's the first half of the Torah portion, and that's known as Achrimos, and the second half, or second portion, which is known as Kedoshim. Why? Because the subject matter at the end of Parshas Achrimos is Aroyos, the prohibited intimacies, the relationships which the Torah deems to be immoral and inappropriate. And profane. So Rashi says, "Hevu perushim min ha'aroyos." You should separate yourself from this kind of licentious relationships. V'gam min aveda, and also from aveda, min aveda. So since you should be separate from licentious relationships, and you should make yourself separate and distinct from sins, this would then serve as a bridge to both of the parsha, because the end of Parshas Achrimos speaks about the litany of prohibited intimacies and relationships, the things which the Torah deems to be profane and therefore licentious. And the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim speaks about mitzvahs, aveiros, things you should avoid, because if you don't avoid these things, they're going to inject toxins into your soul. And Rashi says, Shekol mokem sha'ata moitzi geder erva, ata moitzi kedusha. Whenever you find the Torah giving us guardrails, limitations, insofar as intimacy or sexual relationship is concerned, the Torah will also invoke the terminology of Kedusha. Kedusha, holiness, and living a life that is at least clean, shall we say, or monogamous, or puritanical, or focused in the ideas of relationship, will always be synonymous with Kedusha. And Rashi proves it to you. He says, you'll see when the Torah warns the Kohanim whom not to marry or have a relationship with, an intimate relationship, it says, Isha Zoyna V'Chalala, a woman who is of harlot-like nature, a woman who is profaned. It says that the Kohen, who is given a sacred job as representing the Jewish people, a mandate in the temple in the Migdash, V'Goymer, after saying this, it concludes with, Ani Hashem Mekadeshchem, I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So what do we see? We see that when it talks about a relationship that the Torah deems to be licentious, maybe even for a slender part of the population, just for the Kohanim, the Torah finishes off with the words, Ani Hashem Mekadeshchem, I am God who sanctifies you. And then furthermore, it says later on after that, V'lo yichalel zara, he will not profane his seed, because if the Kohen, in fact, engages in this kind of relationship and this kind of marriage, the offspring will no longer be Kohanim. And so he'll be profaning his offspring. And finishes off after that, the pasuk concludes, Ani Hashem Mekadeshchem. So, intimate relationship, presumably experienced under the guise and aegis of a chuppah, will typically result in offspring. And those offspring, if they come from a relationship which the Torah deems to be profane and unholy, the Torah finishes off with the words, holy, I am holy. Ish zayin v'chalala, and so on and so forth, a woman who is loose, inappropriate, he shouldn't take. So we see that there's this notion of holiness. Okay, so from Rashi's perspective, the meaning of Kedoshim Tiyu, you should be holy, means what? From Rashi's perspective? It means you should engage in clean living, holy relationships. That's what it's talking about. Relationships are holy. You should engage in holy relationships. That's Rashi's opinion. Rambam, for example, in the Book of Mitzvahs, in his the fourth Shadish, he says that this is a general exhortation to keep the mitzvahs. For the more mitzvahs a person keeps, the more holy he or she becomes. So here the Torah comes along and says, be holy. It's not a specific mitzvah according to Rambam. This is not enumerated in one of the 613 mitzvahs. This is a general exhortation. This is Moshe Rabbeinu's sermonics. This is Moshe Rabbeinu engaging and encouraging and inspiring the people and saying, be holy. You should be holy. Now, Rambam uses very general terminology to describe the motif and idea and ideal of this mitzvah. Rashi says also, uses like general terms, only Rashi says it's not specific, or it's not a general exhortation to all Torah and mitzvahs, but rather it's mitzvah specific. It relates to a particular element or dimension or framework of mitzvahs, mitzvahs that are relationship related. That's where it says the exhortation of be holy. However, Ramban takes a different approach. And he says that this is a mitzvah that we should be mekadesh atzmai b'mutalach. We should sanctify yourself with that which would naturally be prohibited, meaning it does not infringe on a specific prohibition of the Torah. This is kosher. That doesn't mean you should be a glutton. Yeah, but the Torah didn't prohibit this food. It's not pork, it's not cheeseburgers, it's not even dead meat. This is slaughtered properly by a righteous individual, done according to the specifications of halacha, and therefore I'm going to eat three dinners. Not really appropriate. Why not? It's kosher. Why? Because gluttony is not appropriate. Kadosh atzmecha, sanctify yourself. How would you sanctify yourself? The area that Hashem has left for you to sanctify yourself is the area that is actually wide open, where God did not come and legislate various prohibitions. God didn't say, don't do it. That's not allowed. He said, oh, this is allowed. The question then is, how much of it should I do? At this point, this is where holiness begins. Holiness begins where prohibition ends. And holiness is something that you're responsible for. You need to do this. Don't wait for God to give you exact instructions on holiness. Figure it out by yourself. And the general mantra or rule, the matrix is, Kadesh Atzmecha, sanctify yourself, do it b'mutalach. So let's take a look now. The Rebbe has some fascinating commentary on these words of David al Kaladas b'nei Yisrael.
Rationalize that because it's a brand new parsha, as opposed to just an adjunct to the previous parsha, so to speak.
Well,
because like Rashi has good proofs to say that Kedushim is in relation to relationships based on the proofs.
Rashi does have what we would call a compelling reason to say that this is a bridge, because Rashi is always motivated by what we call pshuto shel mikra. Mm-hmm. He's got to have the simplest interpretation. So this is not so simple, this business of kader atzmecha b'mutalach. It's not necessarily the easy reading. The easy reading is, I know what I read before, I know what I just finished in Parshas Achrimos. I know what I'm reading now. I'm reading about aroyas and averus. I'm reading about prohibited intimacies and bad relationships, meaning relationships that are profane, that lack the ability to contain holiness within them. And I'm reading about averus, God saying, stay away from all these things. And all of a sudden, in the middle, I get this sermon about this exhortation, be holy. Okay, how did they come in the middle of everything? Because Parshas Kedushim is kind of in the middle. It begins a parsha, but it doesn't seem to go anywhere. So from Rashi's perspective, it has to fit the cadence. Rashi never only explains this verse as it exists in independence. He always explains things as they fall into a flow. There's a sweep of a biblical sweep that everything has to fit into. So from the biblical sweep, I know what I learned about at the end of Achrimos, and now I'm moving into Kedoshim. Why this introduction? So Rashi says it's natural. That's actually biblical syntax. We always seem to be evoking holiness when we speak about relationships. It would be the perfect chaser, the perfect follow-up, the natural bridge from Parshas Achrimos into the Averis that we're talking about in Parshas Kedoshim. Rambam didn't write a commentary on Chumash, although there's was rumored that he did, but we never found anything like that. All the commentary that people have on Chumash is lifted either from Mor Nevuchim, from Guide to the Perplexed, or from the Sefer HaMitzvos, or Mishnah Torah. Rambam doesn't actually write a commentary on Chumash, so he doesn't explain these verses per se as Chumash, as studying Chumash. Rambam's concern in Sefer HaMitzvos was, what are the 630 mitzvahs? I know those proverbial 630 mitzvahs. What are they? So the Rambam gives us rules. He gives us 14 rules to be able to identify what the mitzvahs are. And one of his rules are, if you have a mitzvah, if you have a mitzvah which applies to multiple things, it can't be called a mitzvah. So he says, what's an example of it? Kedoshim to you. Exactly what do you want me to do? Rambam says it's an instruction from God to follow all the mitzvahs. Deuteronomy is full of such instructions. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you guys should keep everything I tell you. You should follow on the straight and narrow. You shouldn't veer off the path. What does that mean? What is the path? What is the straight and narrow? The answer is 613 mitzvahs. So therefore, Rambam says by his matrix, this would not be a mitzvah. Incidentally, Rambam and Ramban have sharp disagreements about what exactly the 613 mitzvahs are. Ramban does not necessarily buy into all of Rambam's generalities or principles or rules, and this is one of them. He doesn't buy into this rule necessarily. Ramban doesn't agree that every time it's a mitzvah shebechlolos or sounds general that it can't be a specific mitzvah. And here's the perfect example. Kedoshim to you, Ramban says, that's a mitzvah. Ramban did not only busy himself with explaining the Peshut HaShem Mikra, but as he himself says, he brings the mystical and midrashic mysteries and secrets into his interpretation. So there's two important points that I want to share with you in conclusion of this class that are taken directly from our Rebbe's teachings. Right in the beginning of Parshas Kedoshim with the Biurim book, Aleph, number one, the Rebbe says, firstly, on the idea that this parsha was said behakel, at a time when everybody was gathered together. The Rebbe says, Yesh lumid mikan hiro l'chol makam l'chol zman. In the spirit of Rambam's overarching perspective on these words, or even maybe Ramban's general perspective, that this is more than the sum of its parts. The Rebbe says there is a general lesson, an important directive for every time and every place. And that is, Kasher makilim Yehudim, when you gather Yidden together, and you do so with a purpose, Lizarzom b'kiyum ha'Torah v'ha'mitzvos. You do so to inspire them about Yiddishkeit. You're trying to engage them and get them to commit to living a life of love, loyalty, and service to God. So when you do so, which is called Gufei HaTorah, that's the body of the Torah, the limbs of the Torah are the individual mitzvahs, the body of the Torah, or what you would call in botanical language, the trunk of the Torah, is the love and loyalty to Hashem, the commitment, the dedication to Yiddishkeit. So what's the best way? What's the approach that we should take when we are exhorting people to be good Yidden? HaDerech L'chach Eini Be'em Tzoyis Azharis V'Einshin V'Chadayimah. The way is not to warn them and wag a finger. Don't you dare! And should you not listen, to hell you'll go in a breadbasket. And the suffering of those who don't listen, you know, there's all preachy stuff, which is once very popular. The Alta Magidim would go around Lithuania and Bessarabia and White Russia and Ukraine and tell the people they're all going to hell and scare them to the edge of their seat. Rebbe says, that's clearly not the way we're supposed to do this. Ella, Ayidei Psichas Pesigne Chiyuvi. How should you always begin? Positive. Long before the Western world decided that positive reinforcement is a good idea and the preferred path to take, the Rebbe says, this is exactly what the Torah is showing us. You gather Yidden together. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? He's going to give them a whole list of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that and don't do the other thing. 51 mitzvahs. Most of them are negative mitzvahs in Parshas Kedoshim. A lot of things we shouldn't be doing. Like we learned one of them last night. It should be a positive mitzvah. Hatzel esreyecha. Save your companion. No, it says, don't stand down when there's an opportunity to save. And you have to go back to yesterday's class to understand why exactly that is so. So how should we begin this mitzvah, this parsha, which is full of don'ts? Don'ts are negative. Don't do. How should we begin it? Positive. What's the first thing Moshe Rabbeinu says? Kedoshim to you. Be holy. Be holy is a positive message. And how are you going to be holy? And you know why you should be holy? Because you're fantastic. Does he realize who he's talking to? Hey, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not so fantastic. We're not so clean. We're not so holy. We're not so pure. Of course you are. Why? Because Ma'alasan Shal Yisrael, the virtue of the Jewish people is that they are holy. Why? Ki kadosh ani, because I'm holy, says God. If I'm holy, you're holy. That's why you're holy. You know why you're capable of holiness? You're capable of holiness because I promise you that you can do this. Ki kadosh ani. As the Zohar says, Odom mikadosh atzmai lamata, a person sanctifies himself here below, even just in a small measure, mikadosh anoisim amayla. Hashem sanctifies it from on high. So we come along to a Yid and say to him, you can be holy. And he says, to be holy. How can I be holy? Hashem is waiting to give you holiness. He wants to be your partner in holiness. Whereas the Ur HaChaim, expanding on the words of the Zohar, he says, if you'll hallow yourself and sanctify yourself when you do the mitzvah for the right reasons, l'shem shamayim, and not to fulfill your own selfish desire for pleasure or gratification or self-fulfillment, even if it's a spiritual self-gratification. But you do it l'shem shamayim for Hashem, so he says, then you can be guaranteed you're connected to Hashem and nothing bad can come from that. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's opening volley. How does he open? When you gather everybody together, how do you start? Positive reinforcement. Build self-esteem. You're fantastic. You guys are amazing. You're great. How do you know, Moshe? Because you're Jewish people. You're Bnei Yisrael. Ki Kodeshani. Because God says you're holy. Because God says you're fantastic and great. And now, according to the words of the Rambam, onto Simon Beis here, according to the words of the Ramban, that this is a notion that we have to sanctify ourselves in the areas where we would naturally not be reined in, where God leaves it, so to speak, open. The Rebbe says, according to those words of Ramban, it becomes especially understood why we emphasize that this should be spoken to and addressed to Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, all the Jewish people. Why? Because, the Rebbe says, Adam Olu Lachshev, a person might well think that this mitzvah of being Purushim Min HaMoisis, going the extra mile, doing that which you weren't specifically told, going beyond the letter of the law, this is only for people who are on a high level. This is for Greise Hasidim, as they say. The big Hasidim, they could do. I'll be happy enough, Rabbi, if I just do the Shulchan Aruch. You know? Don't tell me, Maisalach, I shouldn't do this or that and the other thing because it's not nice, it's not appropriate. If I could just keep to this, you know, basic Shulchan Aruch, I'll be good. No, wrong. Every Yid is capable of going beyond that. And therefore, when we're talking about a mitzvah like Kadosh Atzcha V'Mutalach, there's a Torah emphasis on Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, L'lamed, to teach you. Every one of us is capable not only of doing the right thing, everyone is capable of being extraordinary. Every Yid is capable of going beyond the call of duty and being fantastic. There are no exceptions. Had there been exceptions, like the Panim Yafis says, if he spoke to a specific group of people, we would say, oh, Moshe Rabbeinu, for this one he called the Chassidim. He gave it to them. I'm not one of those. I'm not such a holy roller. Oh, no, no. This is for everybody. Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael, Yia Matzove Aruchni Asher Yia, regardless of where you might stand in the spiritual totem pole, doesn't make a difference. But then, of course, you could ask the question, how is that possible? How come Moshe Rabbeinu make such expectations? What's the answer? Ki Kodesh Ani Asher Elokeichem. Because what makes a Yid special is God sanctifying him. And since God sanctifies him, God doesn't sanctify Tzadikim and Chasidim and Talmidei Chachamim. God sanctifies every Yid. So if God sanctifies every Yid, then kol echad v'echad, every single Yid, is capable of doing this. After all, it says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord, your God. Who did it say? Who is Elokecha? Who is the personal, direct communication? Who is God speaking to? Every single Yid. Every single Yid. So as God spoke to every Yid, and he said, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, there is chal hatzivui l'kadosh atzmei. Every one of us has the sacred duty of sanctifying his or herself, kidei lehidomais, so that we might be living in a manner that is God-like. So we might be living the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, wants us to live because God is holy. And that, my friends, is the positive message that Moshe Rabbeinu begins, this major parsha called holiness, addressing it to each and every single member of Am Yisrael.